appreciate you praying for me a little bit. I didn't get a whole lot of sleep last night.
My legs were bothering me. Nothing worse than laying there and... No, this was an ankle. Old sports injury. I'm pretty sure that's what's causing it. That's about what it's good for. Got your Bibles turned to, back to the book of Job. And we're looking at
suffering hardness of a good soldier. And I know you've heard it said many times, if you're not in a storm, or if you're not coming out of a storm, you're going into one, or you soon will be. And God, where it said Eliphaz, he said, as sparks goeth upward, he says, so were man's days. Few and full of trouble. And there's a lot of trouble in this world. It's already been mentioned several times about praying for the president because there's a lot of trouble in this world. And a lot of it, he bring it on himself. Like I said, he's too loud. Talks too much. And, I can't say a whole lot. I'm not going to judge him. But in the book of Job, we're in chapter 5. We looked at chapter 4 last week, Eliphaz. We looked at this thing about advice from a friend. And we've all got friends, right? And sometimes those friends aren't too friendly to us. They, as Job's friends here, you got to understand that... we all got to be careful of this. The devil can use either one of us. And we got to be careful of that. And I really believe that these men were, you know, they meant well. I mean, I think they meant well. But I think Satan was there also encouraging them to say some things to add to Job's problems and troubles. There ain't nothing better than having somebody that, ain't nothing better than be going through some stuff and then everybody start blaming you. Now, yesterday, I was having trouble with my washer machine. And the first thing come out of my wife's mouth was, what'd you do to it? Well, she was right. I did. I messed it up. But, you know, I didn't want to hear that, you know. I had enough going on during the day without her getting on to me about tearing up the washing machine, you know. I already had a dryer that was tore up. Been trying to get a part for it. You know how hard it is to order anything nowadays? I'll tell you what, sometimes it makes you crazy. But anyway, we ordered it, it came, and they sent it back. So we had to order it again. Supposed to be here Tuesday. We'll see. But you're going to have problems in this life. And Job, man, you know, when you're looking at enduring hardness, there are not very many people you can go to in the Bible where God gives a description of all the troubles they went through. Saul gives a little bit of description at one time. You know, perils at sea, perils on land, perils among friends, perils among false brethren, And how would you like the day you got saved, got the good news that Paul did? He said, now, he's over here praying. I want you to go over there and told Ananias to go pray for old Paul and tell him, you know, what great things he must suffer for my sake. Hey, that's some great news, huh? Well, it's in the Bible, by the way. You know, it's given unto us not only to believe on his name, but to suffer for his sake. And there is suffering in being a Christian. I got a book by F.B. Meyer on the sufferings of Christ, a good book. And if you've never studied a book on suffering, you ought to sometime. Some preachers really did some in-depth looking at the fact of suffering that comes to the Christian's life. We've all...
I think there's a lot of us have been anticipating persecution coming on the church in this country. So far, about all they do is laugh at us, make fun of us. That's about all they do to us right now. But it can intensify. They're trying to, take away a lot of our rights. We know about some of the things that happened during the 70s. Men refusing, to take state licensing and, being arrested and spending time in prison. What was the name of that preacher that took over that people's church down in, you remember who I'm talking about, that pastor? And he was, he was spent time in prison for refusing. But we know about those kind of things, But it's going to, I think it could very well intensify. We need to realize, the Bible says plainly, all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And these persecutions can come from, like I said, all different directions. And it could not only come from your family. I imagine some of you remember when you first got saved. A lot of your family didn't understand what had happened to you. And I remember my family saying, well, basically, you don't have to be a fanatic about it, And I didn't realize I was being a fanatic. I just thought I was reading what the Bible said and felt like, this is what God said that we ought to be like. We ought to be doing. We ought to be witnessing. We ought to be talking to people about Jesus, I remember my brother-in-law, now, he wasn't my brother-in-law then, and my wife and my sister said, now, you take it easy on that boy. Don't be preaching to him. Well, he was dating my sister, and I think they were getting kind of serious, and it was important to me to know that he was saved. Amen? Huh? It was important for me to know he was going to save. He was going to marry my sister. My sister told me she was saved. And she didn't need to be marrying somebody that was lost, right? Unequally yoked. Man, it's going to be all kinds of problems. But they told me, say, you go easy. Don't you be preaching on him, preaching to him. And I said, okay, I won't. I lied. I caught him out there, and we got to talking. Man, first thing, I couldn't help it. I was just like old Jeremiah. It was like fire in my bones. It just started coming out, and I started talking to him. And my sister at the time basically was going to break it off. She told him, she said, I don't know that you're saved. And I said, right now I'm trying to get some things right in my life. And she was going to break. He said, well, give me a chance. And he started coming to church. And it wasn't long after that he professed Christ as his Savior, and he's been going forward in that direction ever since. And they ended up getting married. He's been a good dad, been a good friend, and faithful in his belief, his faith, towards Christ. So, sometimes you just got to do what your family don't think you ought to be doing. You just got to press on. I mean, I know they meant well. They didn't want me to, be overbearing, and I'm sure I probably was a few times. But I also wanted him to be saved. And then my mama was seeing this fella, and I knew he wasn't saved. I mean, I knew it right off the bat. I said, this guy ain't saved. He's some kind of cult guy. They told me to sick him, and I did. I jumped on him. He ended up taking off like a pelican. We all just kind of, my wife witnessed to him, I witnessed to him, my mama witnessed to him, we all witnessed to him, and he said, I can't take this, and he left. Went on down the road. Praise God. I think he was full of the devil. But now here we're looking at Job, and he's catching it from his friends. We're going to look at a few things about Eliphaz, and I want to look at it in the light of this thing right here, what he has to say. Everything that he speaks is truth. Everything he says is true. But I got a statement I wrote down here. Truth without all the truth isn't truth at all. See, he didn't have all the facts. He chose to speak for God, but he didn't know what God was doing. And we're going to look at a few things about old Eliphaz right here. Eliphaz is speaking common truth. These are things that everybody knew about God. You know what I'm saying? That God's not going to let the wicked get away with being wicked. There's coming a judgment. You know? And judgment's getting ready. But, you know, it comes in God's time. God's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. Remember when the children of Israel, they went down to Egypt? How long was they down there? 430 years, that's right. It's two numbers given. One of them's 400, another one's 430. But that's how long that they was going to be gone. And 400 of those years was going to be spent in captivity after Joseph passed out of the way. But, you know, see, the thing of it is, now what you said, why were they down there? Because the Bible says that the unrighteousness of those nations that was in the land that he was going to, wasn't full yet. Their wickedness and their unrighteousness. God was dealing with them. God had been dealing with them. Long suffering. 400 and some years he was dealing with those nations. You know, how you know God was dealing with them? Well, I know it because there was a fellow by the name of Balaam. He knew who God was. He knew who the true God was. They did too. They knew who he was. They just didn't like him like they liked their other little gods, you see. Because they made those gods like their gods. You know, like themselves, the way they thought, the way they think. Well, you got a problem right here. He's telling truth about God, common truth, but he doesn't have all the facts. And so he's taking things that he's saying, he's speaking for God, but he don't know what God's doing. We got to be careful of that too. You think God always does the same thing every time the same way? How many of you has had more than one child? Okay? Did you have to treat them all alike? You had to deal with them differently, didn't you? Huh? You know, and sometimes one of them might say, I don't understand. You do this, and you do me this way, and you do him that way, or her that way, or whatever, you know? Sometimes they don't know what you're doing, but you know them better than they know themselves. Matter of fact, a lot of times you know them better than you know yourself. You know, God give you insight about your children. But anyway, he don't know all the facts. But there's something that's missing in his statements. And what I say is missing is love. Is love. He's speaking the truth, but not in what? Love. How are we to speak the truth? In love. If you're going to really know what truth is, it's going to have to come through a thing called love. And love without truth ain't too good either. First off, it ain't going to be real love. Because real love is always according to the truth. But it might be, you know, infatuation or fondness or a lot of things that, you know, that we think is love is not love. Love is of God. Something I come to realize after I got saved is I didn't really love my wife and children before I got saved. I thought I did. But you see, the way I looked at it was, that's my wife, them are my children. You don't be messing with my wife and my children. But when I got saved, one of the things God spoke to me right quickly about is, said, you got this thing all messed up backwards. That's not your wife. You're her husband. She's mine. She ain't yours. And I gave you to her. And I gave her to you. But she's not yours. She belongs to me. And those children, they're not yours. You're their father. No, that's the way I was supposed to be looking at it. You know what I'm saying? But how do we often look at it? Huh? We get possessive. They're like, they become like possessions to us, you know? But when you got real love, you realize that it's all about what you can do and what you got to give. Helping them to be what they, all they can be and all they should be for God. Well, it's all about you. It's about, you want them to be pleasing to you. Amen? Bible said we whip our children. Why? Because we want them to please us. What we ought to be doing is when we discipline our, we ought to be disciplining our children so they might be pleasing unto God. Well, see, he's kind of messed up on this, you know. He's wanting to fix everything up, but he's not doing it in love. He's telling things, you know, and there's not no friendship or love involved in it. Look at some of the statements he makes right here. He makes a statement in verse 1. It says, "Call now, if there be any that will answer thee, and to which of the saints will thou turn?" You know what he's saying? He said, "You ain't got nobody to go to, boy. Huh? That you've been forsaken. Yeah, here on your own." Then he says, "For wrath killeth the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one." And look at some of the things, some of the statements he's making. "I've seen the foolish taking root, but suddenly I cursed his habitation." That kind of reminds me about like John, James and John was out there, and them people was doing something. They wasn't walking with him. "Hey, God, shall we call down fire and burn that crowd up? They ain't walking with us." Well, Jesus said, "You don't know what spirit you're of." You know what he's saying? He said, "You don't know God." You think that's the way God looks at a lost world? 400 and some years he dealt with those people before he brought Israel. He left them down there suffering in Egypt for 400 and some years till he was done dealing with this crowd. He's long suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But time comes, buddy. The door got swing shut. Look at this. Yeah, look, I mean, look at it says right here, his children are far from safety. You know, almost like he's taking pleasure in it, the way he says it. They are crushed in the gate, neither is there any to deliver them. Whose harvest the hungry eateth up, and taking it even out of the thorns, and the robber swalloweth up their substance. You know what he's saying to him, don't you? That's why your youngins are dead. You've been wicked. You've been doing wrong. And just like their children have been destroyed, that's why yours is dead. You'll find a little bit later another one of his friends come out with the same thing. They've evidently been talking amongst themselves. They done figured out, you know, them young ones, they were out there having some kind of old wicked party or something. And that's the reason why that wind come there and God come down and destroyed them, because they was being so wicked. They doing a lot of assumption there, and presumption. That word presumption in the Bible, boy, is deadly. You know, if we assume something, you know what that does? That makes a donkey out of us, right? Hey, and when you're presumptuous on God, God don't like that. And he's already chose to speak for God. I mean, he had that little spirit come by in the night, boy. He gave him some personal information about what's wrong with Job. He said, "Any more just than God?" He said, "God's dealing with you, boy, because you've been doing wrong." Now, he's got some truth he's throwing out, but it ain't according to love. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 13. I know this word charity is not exactly the same word as our other, but I'm going to tell you something. It is God's love at work in man is basically what charity is. Now, you can't show charity toward God. God, if nothing, we can give to God other than our life. We can give Him our love. But God, notice what He says right here. We can show charity towards people. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Now, listen to him. He's telling Job what his problems are, but there's no love involved in it. No compassion. No caring. He's trying to straighten him out. Yeah, you ever deal with people that way? You're just trying to straighten them out. Huh? Well, I tell you what, boy. I'll give you a piece of my mind, and you like me, you ain't got that much to give away. Huh? You know. We always ready to give somebody a piece of our mind. And that's what he's doing. He said, if we tell you the truth, he said, you're going to be more grieved. That's what Eliphaz tells him. He said, will you be more grieved? He knew that what he was going to say wasn't nice. He knew what he was going to say was going to be hurtful. And he meant, buddy, he was going to lay it on him anyway. But notice this right here. He says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm just sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Ain't no need you going around trying to straighten somebody out if you don't really care. If you don't really love them. If you're not really trying to help. If you don't have that godly love and compassion towards them, just avoid the whole thing. Just go home. Forget about it. Oh, I'm going to tell you something. People can tell. People can tell. Notice this. He said, and though I have the gift of prophecy. See, that's what he said. I just got some word from God Almighty. God showed me. Spirit came by at night, man. Showed me. It made the hair on my neck stand up, boy. Huh? Scared me. Don't scare you, Job. Job says, "Are you got to be kidding me, right? I'm laying down here, the dust soars all over my body. God comes to me at night and terrifies me, and you think that little word from you scaring me? You out of your mind. You reckon anybody can terrify like God? That's what he said, I understand all mysteries. And all knowledge. And though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, what does he say you are? Nothing. God puts a pretty high commodity on this thing of compassion and love and kindness and mercy. He said, if you ain't got that moving through your life, he said, you're of no value, no help. And them fellas, they come there, they meant well. I think they did. But, man, devil's got their minds all tied up in knots, and they ain't no help to him whatsoever. Notice it. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, you know, fuel for the fire. Throw me in the fire. Burn me up so they can keep warm at night. Huh? Give my body to be burned. And have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. You can do, you can sacrifice, you can go, you can do, you can do, you can do, you can do, and that's what you got. If it isn't because of you being constrained by the love of God and you have compassion on people and love and concern like God does. It's, if you're doing it, you know, if we're doing things and we've all been guilty of it just to be seen, just, you know, just so people, you know, won't have a look at you in a bad light, just so the preacher don't think you backslid. Huh? We've all been bullied around a little bit. And if you give in to that, you ain't done nothing. You just went through the motions. If you want to fear somebody, fear God. Don't worry about a preacher. What's a preacher going to do? Huh? Church you? When's the last time you seen anybody churched? Huh? Don't happen much. Half the ones that get it probably didn't even, I mean, probably didn't what they needed. Probably just need somebody to talk with them. And ones that do need it half time are running the church. Zip it up. I'm getting myself in trouble like old Donald. Notice this. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. You see, if he had that compassion and that mercy and that love, he could have been rejoicing with. He could have been rejoicing with old Job. He said, Job, I know you're going through it, buddy. I know you're going through it. I'm sorry. I'm right here. I'm here. That's it. I don't know what else I can do, but I'm here. Buddy, you want to cry on my shoulder? You want to complain? You want to do what you need to do. I'm here for you. And he could have left out of there feeling good. Instead, he left out of there what? Ashamed. Rebuked. God's getting ready to, he's going to drop the hammer on him after a while because he opened up his mouth outside of love. Now, that's what, you know, on one side, that's what we can expect from people. You don't go around here thinking everybody's buddy is going to, when you're going through it, they're going to be right there for you. Don't believe that. It ain't. Yeah, kick him while he's down, buddy. Peck him. He got a sore on his foot. Let's peck his foot off, amen? Just like a bunch of old chickens. I wish it wasn't that way, but this, it's just flesh. And so don't get too discouraged if people don't understand or not compassionate and don't stick with you. But I'm encouraging it to do it. Do what this book is showing us right here. I'm encouraging it, you know, hey, when people are messed up, then please, because if you don't, I know y'all gonna kill me when you find me out. I'm a mess. I've been saved by the grace of God. And if he wasn't holding me, I'd have been swept away a long time ago. I'd have give up on this stuff. Ain't you glad God ain't give up on you yet? Huh? Don't give up on one another either. We can help it. Let's try not to. Let's have compassion. Make a difference. Truth out of truth is not truth at all. Matthew 4:1, you'll find when the devil took Jesus up there and said, hey, you know, if you be the Son of God, won't you command these stones to be made bread? I mean, you know, God, you can do anything, right? That's true, right? Yeah. But it wasn't true either. It was true, but it wasn't true. He wasn't there to make bread out of stones. He was there to be tested and tempted. He said, I'm here to listen to your lies And I'm going to tell you the truth. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every word. Can't just grab what you like, you know. Yeah, I know. I never seen God's people forsaken nor children beg bread. Jesus hanging on the cross, the only righteous man that ever lived. What did he say? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I don't know what kind of testing you're going to go through. I know one thing. Job, what's the first thing he did when those testings come? He rent his clothes. He sat in sackcloth and ashes. And he worshipped God. And he never moved from that. But God didn't say a word to him. You ever been through them times when the sky seems like brass? You go to your Bible and you say, God, I need something, and there's nothing seems to be there. It's just like that old, you know, it's just like that old poem, you know, about footsteps in the sand. You sitting there thinking God's left you. He ain't left you. He's carrying you. You're the one that's left in your mind. You think God is not there. You forgot what His promises were. He said, I ain't leave. I ain't going nowhere. I'm right here. If we could just believe God, we could jump a little bit. Amen? But the honest truth is, sometimes the doggone testing is too much for us. And God knows it. I used to pump out iron and butt it, and you'd get to that, and you couldn't go no more. You were done. If somebody wasn't there to pick the thing off of you, you were stuck. I've lifted it by myself and have to roll it off of me. That's painful, man. Roll a big, 200 some pounds down off of your chest and down your belly. Finally get it to your waist where you can set it up, and you say, wow, that was stupid. I shouldn't have been doing that. I think it'd have fell across my neck and crushed it. But sometimes that's the way testings are. It's just too much for us. But God said, I ain't going nowhere. And I'm going to tell you something. And Job knew that deep down in his heart too. You know why? Right when it got its very worst, he said, though the worms eat my body, I know that in this flesh, I'll see God. Amen. I'm going to stand before Him. I'm going to see Him. God promised it. God don't lie. Amen. He wants to die right now. He's going to say it again. This is too much for me. I wish that God would hear my prayer and just give me what I want. He said, what do you want, Job? I want to die. I can't stand this. It's too much. Who knows? You may be standing in that place one day. I hope not. For nobody. But could be. And lastly, of course, we know in Genesis 3:1-5, devil's telling a bunch of old truth there too, you know. See, you eat this fruit. He said, your eyes gonna be open. Hey, you're gonna know good and evil. All true, right? He said, and you shall be as gods. True, you will be. Little G-O-D. You know what them little gods are, right? Devils. You're gonna be a bunch of little devils. Bunch of little rebellious, wicked, vile, filthy devils. Did God not hear that conversation? Where was He at? Yeah, He was right. He was right there. Why didn't He take the devil up, pick him up, kick him out through the, out of the gardens, and leave my creation alone? Jesus Christ was slain where? before. Whether you like it or not, it's God's plan. Whether I like it or not, this is God's plan. And you know what? I decided a long time ago, God's right, I'm wrong. See, I don't like that. I don't like that. I'm just going to be honest, Brother Rick. I don't like that. I don't like suffering. I don't like people suffering. I don't like the thoughts of my children suffering. I don't like these things, you see? I don't like them. I'm just going to be honest. God knows I don't like them. I can't lie about it and say, yeah, thank you, God. Appreciate that. No, but I can say this. God, I know you're right, and I believe it with all my heart. God's right. I'm wrong. I've walked with me enough to know. And he's never done me bad. He's never done me bad. He's always done me good. I trust him. Through all the suffering, through all the pain, I just know it's for my good and to the glory of God. And it's the way it had to be. Don't understand it. I ain't got it figured out. If you got it figured out, come tell me about it. Well, I sure would like to know. I'd like to understand this. But there's one thing I do know. God's right. All the time. God loves me. All the time. We know that God's going to ask Job about that in a little bit. Well, finally, I'm going to finish with this for today. Eliphaz refuses to take his own advice. You mark her down. Most of the time, when somebody got it all figured out, they won't even listen to themselves. Verse 2, chapter 5. Listen to what he says right here. For wrath killeth the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one. That's true. He's speaking for God. Does he know what he's talking about? No, he's silly and he's foolish, but he won't listen to his own advice. Look over in some of his other statements. He says, verse 17, verse 12. Start reading there. Now a thing was secretly brought to me, and mine ear received a little thereof. In thoughts from the visions in the night, when deep sleep falleth on men, fear came upon me in trembling, which made all my bones to shake. Then a spirit passed before my face. Hair of my flesh stood up. It stood still. I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before mine eyes. There was silence, and I heard a voice saying, Shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his Maker? Behold, he put no trust in his servants, and his angels he charged with folly. How much less in them that dwell in houses of clay, whose foundation is the dust, which are crushed before the moth? They are destroyed from morning to evening. They perish forever without any regarding it. Doth not their excellency, which is in them, go away, and they die even without what? Wisdom.
He's got wisdom. He's coming. He's telling Joseph. He just said, God don't give. He don't trust wisdom with flesh. And he's standing there in his flesh telling Job what his problem is. He can take his own advice. He won't even listen to himself.